And away we go on the Trex Radio Show, live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGORadio.com. And as the sun goes down every evening, you can hear us all across the Western United States. Hi, Vancouver. Hello, Seattle. Hola, LA. Well, good evening, and thank you for joining me. We've got plenty to review here, and we're going to start with a local story. Now, I have to tell you, here's what's strange about this local TV story. I don't know this guy. I think he's a pretty famous guy here in the Bay, and there's been all kinds of stories and scuttlebutt going around about this gentleman. He's a sportscaster, and he works at... K-R-O-N, I do believe. And his name is Gary Radnich, if I've got that correct. And he got upset at his co-anchor. Now, the reason that this has become such a big deal that I'm playing it for you now, I thought it was kind of going to be a sort of local thing that would not blow up. But guess what? Kaboom! It's blown up. So I come in here today, and what is the lead piece of audio that my audio service is feeding me? It's this story. Sportscaster Gary Radnich, or Radnich, whichever, gets upset at his co-anchor for stealing his story. A newscaster in San Francisco reported a few weeks back on the news that LeBron James, and we all heard the story, is going to star in Space Jam 2. And the sports guy came on and gave her a hard time because he was planning on doing that report himself. I mean, sometimes these things happen between, for instance, talk show hosts or news people and the talk show host and whatever. It happens every once in a while. And now it's blowing up online. So let me play it for you. This is most of the time, this is behind the scenes antics that happen. This one just happened to be live on the air.
We should tell you LeBron James is going to star in Space Jam.
Well, are you mad because I already read that?
Yeah, we know.
I'm sorry.
How's Steph Curry's knee?
He's nursing it, and it's getting better.
Mm-hmm. How long have we been friends? 23 years.
I didn't know you were going to do it.
Have you ever, and I'm going to say this with a smile, ever heard me say right before you came on, there's an irrigation problem in Gilroy?
You have to talk to Cassine.
You ever heard me say, it's warm weather today? Never. I stay in my lane. And it's just to a friend to do that.
You got to talk to Cassine.
I like Cassine.
Yeah.
So don't try and pit me against the producer, Cassine.
Well, he gave me that lovely script.
And here's that. And it's hard for me to get mad. Catherine has stayed at my mother's home. She's written my mother notes and stolen my material.
Boom! So that was on the air. What do you think happened when they went to commercial break? Wow, duck and cover, kids. Yikes! As I said, these blow-ups and inner office, I don't know, you know, kabooms happen every once in a while. That's just the way things go. It's very much like your own workplace. Not everybody gets along all the time. We all do the very best that we can not to step on each other's feet, but apparently it happens sometimes. And there you just heard it happen live on television. Well, actually, it's recorded from live on television. Is this a good idea? Kris Jenner was pretty devastated when Bruce Jenner became Caitlyn. But apparently it was so and is so traumatizing that she wants to ditch his name. In a deleted scene from Keeping Up with the Kardashians, she discusses the possibility. And I think we have it.
When you get Casa Vega and you get them like in those trays, who do you talk to there?
I call the manager usually and I say, hey, it's Kris Kardashian. And
your name isn't Kris Kardashian.
I'm going to change my name back to Kardashian.
Why? You haven't been that in over 24 years.
I was that before you were that. I was the original Kardashian.
I don't care if you were that. That's bizarre. Why don't you go back to your maiden name?
It just doesn't
so
sound
just
right.
Keep Kris Jenner. Don't you think that's insulting to your two daughters?
If Bruce can change his name to Caitlyn, I think I'm good.
Wow. Okay. What can I say? Did you notice that somebody was texting in the background? Whoop. They can never put the phone down. Even when they're talking something serious about Kris Jenner changing her name back to Kardashian. Whoop. Hold on. I have to finish this text message. I have to post this to Instagram. All right, let's go through some other showbiz silliness if we could. David Faustino, remember him from Married with Children? Well, he's talking now and telling stories about the show, and he told an interesting story on a podcast recently. Back when he was doing the show, he met former Beatle George Harrison. And it turns out George Harrison was totally a fan, but he liked one cast member a little bit more than the others. He told David that he actually wanted to perform orally on Christina Applegate. David actually told Christina this the next day at work, and her face turned red. Wonder what else turned red. David didn't say if Christina ever made George's dream come true, but it's probably worth noting that George married his second wife, Olivia, in 1978, and they were together until he died in 2001. So you do the math on that. One of the things that happened over this past weekend were the Billboard Music Awards and Justin Bieber. And I thought this was really good. I mean, I really do. You know, I'm not always a believer in everything that Justin does, but in this case, I'm on his side. He said, this is the full story. Whenever Justin Bieber gets into one of his philosophical coffee shop moods, let's just call it that, I try really hard to give him the, I try to give him the benefit of the doubt. I mean, I really am trying. Because I think he's thinking, and he's starting to grow up, and yes, he is trapped by this contract, and I know what you're saying. You're like, well, boo-hoo for him. That's what you signed up for. You're famous, so you get it. But remember, this happened before. I mean, he was a young kid, 14, 15, when he got involved in this mess. So he really never had his own teenage years. He's always, this has always been eclipsed by his fame and by working for the man, which would be the record company, and they tell you what to do. And, you know, you can be Barbara Streisand famous, Jennifer Lopez famous, Justin Bieber famous. They're still telling you what to do. So it can be hard, and I understand that. Again, it goes with the territory. I'm not giving into that, but some of this stuff is for real. So anyway, Justin slipped into that mode again after performing at the Billboard Music Awards, which by the way, he did win a couple awards. And he went on Instagram to rant about how the whole experience wasn't real enough for him. He said, you know, I don't feel good when I'm there nor after. These award shows, they seem so hollow. I see a bunch of fake smiles so that when the camera hits them, they look happy. I'm privileged and honored to be recognized by my peers in these settings. I can't feel that recognition. The authenticity is missing that I so crave. He talked about he just wants people to be sincerely proud of him and to have fun and, you know, and to help him be rewarded with fulfillment for this living purpose. Okay, so but this is a story from yesterday. And I'm sorry. This is a story from today. But so yesterday, the story went on to say that, look, you know, I'm paraphrasing now. It's all a bunch of phoniness. It's very hollow. People are there to get camera time. You know, they want FaceTime. And they're all worried about networking and schmoozing with the other schmoozers, who are in the crowd. It's all about schmoozing and getting camera time and FaceTime in front of the camera. All right. And I'm down with him on that. So it is very fake and hollow. I don't know if I've been to a couple award shows. Yes, that's what it's like. You know, people want FaceTime. So they're sitting there with their phony smiles. Half of them are hammered, you know, and they're looking for the camera to pan to them. And then they're looking for somebody else that they can hook up with and say, ooh, you know, do you have anything going on? Do you want to read my script? Do you want to hear my tape? Something like that. And then there was Madonna paying tribute to Prince with this. A lot of people didn't like this.
Nothing compares to you.
Okay, so yesterday, Monday, it was fast and immediate. That was the Haterade. Actually, it started Sunday night right after the show. Actually, while she was still performing, the Haterade started rolling in. And as of today, she says she doesn't really care if you hated it. And by the way, Questlove has her back, too. She said she doesn't care. She doesn't give a damn. Deal with it. Anyone who wants to do a tribute to Prince is welcome to. Whatever your age, gender, or skin color, if you loved him and he inspired you, then show it. I love Prince forever. Quote unquote. Madonna. Questlove has her back also, and I was looking at his Twitter account, and he said, Every Prince rendition will not be life-changing. It will not be an orgasmic experience. You know, just to sing his work is brave enough. Everybody wants and deserves a chance to say goodbye to him in their own way. Let's just not get ugly with playing the Prince would and wouldn't approve game. Now, you know, maybe you didn't like the fact that Madonna started with Nothing Compares to You. I didn't particularly like it because, yes, she wrote that song for Sinead O'Connor, but it was slow, and I thought she could, I mean, he rocked it. She could have come out with Let's Go Crazy, 1999, When Doves Cry, something like that. That was my first impression. But her performance, I thought, was okay. Everybody said she was off an octave or so. Maybe, I guess, perhaps. But I think she did the best she could. I thought she looked fantastic. I thought she looked fabulous. And by the way, BET was one of the haters. The BET Awards will have their own Prince tribute. And they ran an ad. Yes, they ran an ad right after she was on. I guess they predicted the hate. Okay. And the ad said, yeah, we saw that. Don't worry, we got you. After that, they'd better blow it out of the box, I would say. So better step it up a whole lot, BET. And by the way, the other thing that Questlove said, you know, people are going to hate it, are just bound to hate it either way. Prince himself, I love this line, Prince himself could have come back to life and done his own tribute, and there'd be people on the internet who would whine about it. I gotta believe that. You know, why does she look? When you're in show business, the best idea is just don't look at it, and then it won't bother you. Okay, Bernie Sanders is in California. He's campaigning. We're the big enchilada when it comes to delegates. I guess they both have it all wrapped up, you know. But Bernie's going to get a platform. But last night, Bernie Sanders, well, he wants to be the progressive candidate, but is he afraid to go all the way? Because Tommy Chong, yes, Cheech and Chong, said yesterday that he was asked to introduce Bernie at a rally in East L.A. yesterday, and then all of a sudden he was disinvited just hours before the event. He said, quote, it was an insult. My endorsement means a lot because of what I've gone through and the whole marijuana culture, what everybody has gone through. But Bernie's campaign chalked it up to a scheduling conflict. Oh, yeah. Everything's a scheduling conflict, which Tommy bought because he later tweeted, you know, hope to continue my support, reschedule and continue activism, political change and promoting peace anywhere possible. It's not clear what they meant by a scheduling conflict, but the rally did happen, and Bernie was introduced by Rosario Dawson. Something smells fishy to me. Maybe Bernie didn't put his band roll on that morning. I don't know. Sounds fishy to me. Okay, let me see. I have some other fun things here to play you. Let me take a look here. Well, we've got some insane things. We got Kardashian. Oh, yeah. Jamie Foxx found a toy piano and started messing around with it before his show in Las Vegas on Friday. He had half a song written before they got to the end of the Instagram video. Let's take a listen. Don't treat my love like a baby. You know I'm feeling so grown. Don't treat my love like a baby. I just can't stand being alone. Don't baby my love. Nice. Did you know that apparently Helen Hunt and Jodie Foster look incredibly alike? I didn't realize that. Newsflash, racist. Not all middle-aged white actresses look alike. Sadly, that isn't stopping people from getting Helen Hunt and Jodie Foster confused. Here, I think we have Helen Hunt talking about this.
You have certainly here lately become a huge star.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Yes, my life has changed.
Oh, let me stop this. This is from back in 1994 with Letterman, when she talked about being mistaken for Jodie.
A little bit.
Is it exciting?
Yeah, I'm recognized now actually for being who I am, rather than I went to college with you, or did you used to date my cousin, or are you Jodie Foster, which I got for a long time.
Really? People think you're Jodie Foster?
Last Thanksgiving, ironically, it was my job to go buy the Thanksgiving turkey, and I was in the supermarket, and the guy is checking me out and says, "You're Jodie Foster." And I said, "I'm actually not."
Yeah.
"Thank you." "No, you are. I know you're Jodie Foster." And I'm begging you. "I'm not. I'm really not." "No, I love your work. You killed in The Accused. You were amazing. Unbelievable. Taxi, you scared the crap out of me. You're so good." I said, "I'm really not. I am an actress. Here's my driver's license." "No," I told him, "I'm in this movie and that movie." And he said, "Oh, you are an actress."
"Yeah."
"Okay, that's $37.50. Like, no more free bird at all.
"No."
He wanted to give me a free turkey, and then I'm not Jodie Foster, so pay up.
Oh, that stinks. Ooh, man. That.
And I still miss Dave. Oh, Dave, I long for you. Now it looks like Santa Claus. Anyway, last week, the National Enquirer said that Jodie was at a West Hollywood nail salon, and when another customer came in and started praising her work, including the sitcom with Paul Reiser, she was talking about Helen and Paul's old show, Mad About You. He seemed to kind of, like, you know, it was a made-up story, but yesterday Helen tweeted about a similar incident, and she said, quote, "Ordered my drink at Starbucks, asked the barista if she wanted my name. She winked and said, 'We gotcha.' And then, wouldn't you know it, it came up Jodie Foster." Maybe there's a thing going on. I don't know. I'm not sure. Oh, should we hear new music from Fergie? Oh, we have a new song from Fergie where she raps over a Dead Can Dance sample. Let's take a listen.
Turn the headphones up. I'll make the windows roll up. I make the hands go up when I show up and I blow up till I'm full of weight. Hold up. Girl up in the mirror. Hungry. Still hungry.
Dead Can Dance song, Dawn of, let me see, The Isolationist. Well, I don't know. I wish there was more Fergie in there. Just my ass opinion. T.I. was on The View yesterday, and he defended Chris Brown for making a controversial comment about how little girls dress. Here's how that went over.
I agree with Chris. I just simply because I'm a father. And as you said before, I think, you know, we see the world through the eyes of a man. And I don't think that anyone necessarily knows what that's like. And it's our job to protect our daughters from that type of perception.
Okay. I guess. He's telling little girls how to dress. I don't think that Chris Brown should be giving any advice to women, little girls, girls, the female gender, period. Stephen Colbert on polls showing Trump ahead of Clinton.
According to the Washington Post, ABC News, Cheesecake Factory poll, voters favor Donald Trump over Hillary Clinton 46-44%. But how do you feel about it? Okay, 46-44, if you do the math, that only adds up to 90%, because the final 10% just kept whispering, "Kill me."
That's great. And, you know, speaking of, we played that song with Gwen Stefani a little while ago, and I want to get back to music just for a second. So Blake Shelton is obviously, he's as one now with Gwen Stefani. The thing with Miranda Lambert is over with Blake, and Gwen's done with Gavin Rossdale. Just hope the two of them don't hook up and get a beautiful nanny. That would be a big mistake. But, you know, it reminds me of a high school affair. Do you really want to put duet albums out ahead of time before you know the relationship is going to work. So anyway, Blake Shelton made his way onto the Ellen DeGeneres show yesterday, and he started writing his song, Go Ahead and Break My Heart. And he was explaining how he went ahead and did that just to impress Gwen Stefani.
We kind of did laugh a few times. There was moments where it's like, wow, we're singing this song like we're going to break up. And we're not breaking up right now, you know? This just seems kind of weird.
Well, they're not breaking up? Are we pausing again? I'm not getting to the meat and potatoes of this. Ugh, I hate when the computer freezes up. I'll come back to that. I'll tell you what. Let's just skip forward to The Bachelorette, because the insanity began last night, and I saw that the wife downed a liter of Pinot, so there must be something to it.
You are so out of my league, it's ridiculous.
No!
Oh, this is the radio DJ. Radio DJ Wells brings All for One. Let me take a look here. Radio DJ Wells brings All for One to serenade JoJo.
Wells? JoJo, it's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well. I brought some friends with me today. You guys ready?
What's about to happen?
Hey, look, what is this out here?
So, music is a huge part of my life.
Oh, he brought some people.
I feel like the best way to tell someone how you feel about them is through music.
Going out as an a cappella group?
JoJo, I give you All for One.
I swear.
Oh, my God.
By the moon and the stars in the sky.
This is good.
I'll be
I swear.
Did he like dream this a cappella group with him? If you come out with like a well-known a cappella group, you got the leg up for sure.
Hug, I'll love you ever and be.
This is so crazy right now.
And
I swear that I hate whoever brought all those guys.
Thank you.
Thank you guys.
You guys did one for him.
That's a big move right there. I'd say Wells is leading the pack right now. I mean, who can compete with that?
Oh, my God. We have an entire summer of that. Napa Valley, lock the doors. Lock down the barrels of Pinot. Jeez. All right, should we try Ellen again? Blake Shelton says he started writing Go Ahead and Break My Heart to impress Gwen Stefani. Let's give it one more try.
We did laugh a few times. There was moments where it's like, wow, we're singing this song like we're going to break up. And we're not breaking up right now, you know? This just seems kind of weird, but we were just having... You know, I think the thing about it is when we wrote the song, we never saw it going there. I don't know that we ever really saw it going anywhere. I only started the song to impress her, to be like, hey, writing a song about you. And so I sent it to her, and then she wrote the other half of the song. It's like, oh, she just one-upped me. The last year of my life has been... It's been nuts. It's been crazy. Yeah. So I just thought, you know, if all the magazines are going to cash in on me, I might as well, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, let's hope that all works out for you and Gwen, because it's going to be messy. And those recordings never go away if it doesn't. One more late night show thing. Yes, speaking of television shows, let's go to late night. Jennifer Lawrence, one of my favorites, talks about the first time she screwed up in a press conference with Fallon.
So my first ever press conference, like my first ever like moment, like entering me into a world of messing up press conferences, it was the first one. I was there for a movie called Burning Plains. I'm sitting next to like Charlize Theron and the director Guillermo Ayaga.
Who's in the film? You?
Kim Basinger, me, Charlize Theron, and so Kim Basinger wasn't there. Uh-huh. We were doing an international press conference, and so somebody said, you know, like, where is Kim Basinger? And I just leaned into the microphone and was like, you didn't hear? Kim died. And then there was like a beat while it got translated. And then it was like, and then I got ripped off the stage, thrown into media training, which was hilarious because I was like Eliza Doolittle and My Fair Lady. They're like, don't sit like that. Don't talk like that. And I'm like, no!
We have to make you into a star. Yeah. I love it. No one would understand that joke.
Obviously, it didn't take.
Yeah. No, it worked. Yeah. Absolutely.
I don't know.
Oh, please. You're in this giant.
My publicist told me like a week ago, she was like, stop telling people that they don't have to see X-Men. I'm always like, I don't know, you know, if it feels right, you know, do it. No pressure.
I mean, you can do whatever you want to. I mean, you can see it or.
We don't care. We don't care, and we'll call that a wrap. Thank you for listening to the Drex Podcast Series. Have yourself a great whatever day it is, and thanks for listening to KGO 810.